Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul. We're going to bring your opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, June 28th, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch. Are you there, Butch? Butch is doing great, except being not connected to the program. So let's go ahead and get to the market report. And I'm sure they're working on that little bit of a problem. So gold today was down 220 at 1780. Silver's down 2 cents today at 26.18. Platinum was down 17 at 1096. Palladium was up 50 bucks, so 2,774. The USDX today was up 0.09 at 91.89, and crude oil was down 1.21 at 72.84. The paper markets today, you had the Dow down 150 points, 34,283. The S&P was up 10. 4,290. The NASDAQ was up 140, 14,500. Europe was negative across the board. I think the biggest loser was, well, they're all pretty much the same, all under 1%. Asia was all negative also. Bonds today, the 10-year yield was down 0.058 at 1.478.
Can you hear me?
Okay. I can hear you.
I'm back on. I can hear you just fine. Oh, don't know what happened, but you know, it dropped on Todd's end, so we got to talk to him about this.
Yeah, I know. It was Skype.
No. Oh, well, live radio can be fun.
Yes,
you never know what's
going to
happen. It can be.
I know. I was just going to give a little bit of an update on those survivors in that building.
You go right ahead. That's fine. I'm here now.
Well, no, I was just giving a really quick break update, just waiting for you to come in. I guess they've been digging for 5 days now, and I can't imagine that they're going to find any survivors in that mess of concrete. And I don't think there's really been too many survivors since the first hours after the structure fell. But there was a body recovered.
I think there's a total of 9 now, right?
Total of 9, yeah. But there's still, 150-some missing. Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to imagine in my mind how there can be that many people still missing. I mean, are they that under that much rubble? And I guess they're trying to be careful not to injure more through there. But that's a lot of people buried.
It is. It was 12 stories. I think there was like 100 apartments or condos.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
It truly is. So there's going to be a lot of questions on that. And I can't imagine what they're going to do because, I mean, they can't re- I don't know what they can do. But anyway, they'll find their way. So. Anyway, what else is new, Butch?
Well, you know, talk about that just a second longer. I mean, when you're living in an apartment, I don't suppose anybody ever told me they had to get out. It was condemned, or they would have got out of it. I would think. But it's quite shocking to sit at home one night and the whole thing fall off from under you. You know, that's just unheard of. And I bet there are other buildings in the same area that people feel more nervous now. They're built about the same time.
Well, I certainly would be, and I'd be scrambling for either the homeowners association or whoever's the direct owner of it to, you know, get me verification that it has had a pretty substantial whatever you want to call it to make sure that it is a sound building.
Well, don't they inspect those fairly often? Or supposed to?
You think? Kind of made me started thinking about bridges.
Really.
You know what the thing of it is? There was a headline that I saw, and it's like payoffs for permits.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's true, but that was one of the headlines. The developers of the tower were once accused of paying off officials. I guess the developers of the condo tried to get officials to get permits for the site, which needed $15 million in repairs just to bring it to code. Building rivals claim that the partners behind the Surfside Champlain Towers South were receiving preferential treatment when it came to getting through the permit system as the site was being built in 1981. You know, that goes around everywhere. You know, it's just not building that happened to.
I haven't followed up with it much, but how old is that building? Does it say?
It was in 81. I think it was built somewhere in the 80s.
So it's not forever.
The site was being, you know, it was being built in 81.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, that's.
You wouldn't think it would have fallen down.
No, you wouldn't think so. I mean, there was no reason for it to, as far as earthquakes or water in the ground giving away, or, you know, what they call sinkholes. So I don't know, but I just, again, I wonder what, I don't know what time day it happened. Was it night or day?
It was in the middle of the night.
See, that's, everybody's at home, in bed, feeling safe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is something. And really, there's no excuse for it. Unless there's an earthquake or something, there's no excuse for it. If the building is that dilapidated and inspectors don't find it, that's the inspector's fault. That's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody got to answer for this, Melody.
I hope so. I hope so.
150 some people dead because of somebody's neglect. No, it just isn't right. People.
And what they should do, if it was really about payoffs for permits, to dig all the way back to who, what, when, and where, and they should
exactly.
All be held accountable.
I totally
that
agree.
That doesn't happen in America anymore.
There was a time it certainly would have, but you're right. But where do you feel safer than in your own home and bed at night?
Yeah.
You know, so that's just unheard of. That is absolutely unacceptable, period. But we'll move on from that now, but I just want to put my 2 cents worth on that. That's just totally unacceptable. They need to find out who called it, and somebody needs to pay for it. They really do. But... you know, how many times we talked over the years about robots coming in and doing jobs and, you know, how they'll be using them to hire and fire people because they won't have human feelings and relations. They'll just use cold, hard facts. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And you're done. Well, this is interesting. Fired by a bot at Amazon. It chew against the machine. Stephen Normandin spent almost 4 years racing around Phoenix delivering packages as a contract driver for Amazon.com Incorporated. Then one day received an automated email. The algorithms tracking him had decided he wasn't doing his job properly. The 63-year-old Army veteran was stunned. He'd been fired by a machine. Normandin, an old school kind of guy who says he gives every job 110%, was shocked. Normandin says Amazon punished him for things beyond his control that prevented him from completing his delivery, such as locked apartment complexes. He said he took the determination hard and prided himself on a strong work ethic. Recalled that during his military career, he helped cook for 250,000 Vietnamese refugees at Fort Chaffee in Arkansas. At 63 years old, he worked all his life. Obviously, he wasn't lazy. He wasn't sitting home drawing welfare. But the computer says he wasn't working fast enough, and boom, there he went. And, you know, more and more companies are relying more and more on we'll say, AI. I mean, for example, UPS tracks their drivers all day long. They even have cameras in some of the vehicles to watch them when they're driving. And I know a couple of drivers told me they're not allowed to back up more than a few feet. And come down my driveway where I live, there's not a lot of room to turn around, although they can if the conditions are right. But they have to back up a little ways to turn around. And they're not allowed to do that. They're not supposed to do that. So this is going to be a little bit ridiculous. It really is. I mean, they didn't even call me in and talk to an individual and look at his record and see what's going on. They just fired him. That after 4 years, they fired him. Any comments on that?
No. I mean, but this isn't, you know, it's kind of like... you know, it's almost like the social system that China has. Only, you know, you have
yeah,
to
is.
Do this,
it
you
is.
Have to do that. You're being monitored. I know UPS does the, you know, they do. I mean, who is, maybe it was FedEx that one of my neighbor's son works for them and as a driver. And I mean, they account. They have to account for every minute. They can only be outside of that truck for so long when delivering a package.
That's
they
true.
Know when they leave. They know when they come back. They know when they start the truck. They know when they start it. They stop and start it. And how could you work under that type of pressure knowing that someone knows your every move?
Well, you know, that's going to be more and more common as time goes on. A little bit later on today, if we have time, we're going to cover an article about how you're spied on all day long by your phone, even by your doorbells now, by your laptop, everything. That's going to be more and more common because technology is enabling them to do this. We're becoming a technology-controlled society, whether you like it or not. That's what it is. And, of course, that's part of the beast system, we'll call it, biblically. We're being watched and probed and monitored 24/7, and even in our own homes. It's happening. But how does this guy go by? Who does he talk to? Who does he call up and say, listen, I need to talk about this? I mean, is there a recourse to this? Does he have a chance to talk to another individual? I mean, is there a chance to work this out? I mean, is he just done? Does a computer or the bot get the final say-so in this? Those questions need answered.
Yeah, they do. But you know what? Most people are just, you know, some are happy they have a job, and you know, it's just like, well, what, and, you know, that old saying that it bothers me. What can I do about it? There's nothing that I can do.
Well, if everyone, and most people do it, they have that attitude. This is exactly why everything happens the way it happens.
Exactly.
No one tries to stop it. That's why it happens.
Yeah.
Exactly why it happens. But yeah,
and we get used to it too, though, Butch.
We get used
to all the data that's being collected on us. You know, we're getting used to being tracked by phones. We're getting used to being tracked by laptops. We're getting used to knowing that there's a camera at any moment. You know, wherever you go, whatever you do, there's most likely a camera watching you. We've accepted it already. It's not going to change. It's only going to get worse, and that's a sad thing.
Well, the argument is, well, if you have nothing to hide, why do you care? Because to me, it's an insult. It's like trying to board a plane. I have to prove that I'm not a terrorist before I can get on a plane and fly to where I want to go. The restrictions on my right and my ability to travel is based on my ability to prove that I'm innocent. That's not the way it's supposed to be, is it?
I can remember after 9/11 and the TSA came out and they had all those restrictions going, you know, flying and so forth. And I can remember a woman saying, well, you know what? I mean, and you're right. I mean, I don't have nothing to hide. So, you know, they can pat me down and all this kind of stuff. And I just asked her, I says, well, you have a young girl, don't you? How are you going to like when they start patting her down, you know, when she's, you know, 8 years old or even 10 or 12, no matter the age?
Right. What was your reply?
There wasn't one.
We don't think beyond ourselves. We need to think about our children, our grandchildren, what they're going to face. But we gotten used to, McKamey sung a song. They're a good Southern gospel group. They entitled a song, Getting Used to the Dark.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. We've gotten used to the dark.
Yes, we have.
But anyway, moving on now.
Okay.
Fire from Texas. Huge gas bill stoked anger after February freeze. Natural gas prices across the Midwest exploded during the extreme chill, leaving some to suggest more federal oversight is needed. An angry backlash is building across the middle of the U.S. as states step in to help their constituents pay billions, I meant no sad, billions of dollars in natural gas bills racked up during February's freeze. While most escaped the blackouts that occurred in Texas, states from Minnesota to Kansas are having to help local utilities, businesses, and homeowners cover February bills after natural gas prices, now this is amazing, surged from around $2 per million British thermal units to as much as 1,200 in parts of the country. I can't even imagine, I can't even calculate that, the increase from $2 to $1,200. Lawmakers and regulators in Minnesota, Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, and Kansas have called for investigations into market manipulation and are exploring regulatory changes. Republican and Democratic leaders are in some of the states, so there may be time to reconsider whether interstate gas markets, deregulated since the 1980s, need greater federal oversight to prevent a similar economic calamity from happening again. Just a comment here. when the federal government gets involved, folks, they will mess it up. But let's move on. The February storm caused wellheads and pipelines to freeze in Texas and other gas-producing states, crimping supplies just as millions of customers cranked up the heat. The effects were felt as far from the Lone Star State, leaving many homeowners and businesses with monthly bills, hundreds or even thousands of times as large as usual. In Oklahoma City, the Vigilio Senior Citizen Center received a February gas bill for $44,527, about 50 times more than a month before, from its gas marketer, Constellation, a subsidiary of Chicago-based Exelon Corporation. I can certainly understand the people, how they're going to pay a bill that's went from $2 per unit to $12 per unit. I can understand that bill. That would break a lot of people, wouldn't it?
It would.
You know, I can understand that. And I know the gas heads and everything froze. But I have to ask a question. I don't know who, I'm not blaming, I'm not putting fault on anybody. But do you think people in Texas and other producing states never ever thought it could freeze there?
They get plenty of bad weather in the wintertime. They get snow.
Of course
they
do.
Get, you know, it's, you know, who used to tell me that they lived in Texas and you could go into the movie theater and it'd be 90 degrees out. Well, maybe not 90, but it'd be nice and sunshiny and you come out and there's snow. It changes very quickly in Texas in some areas and so forth. So I don't know. That would be just one of the things, Butch, that you think you would plan for.
You think you would. You would really think you would consider that. I mean, it's like burying water lines here in our state. People are told to bury them at least 12 inches deep because it does get cold here. You know, and some people still would get by, would just stick them in the ground, let it go. Then they wonder why the lines freeze and bust. Mm-hmm. It's their own fault. They need to pay attention. So I don't know what happened to wellheads. I'm not pointing fingers at the oil company or gas companies. But somebody should maybe thought ahead a little bit and think, you know, it could get cold enough to freeze one day. Maybe we should do some insulation or something. Anyway,
we do have to think about the break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter. And just go to the link on the website and sign up. It comes out today. So, Butch, what's
next? And,
Bobby,
folks, that's a good newsletter. It's worth a phone call. It's worth getting an email newsletter. It really is. It's worth it. It's a good little newsletter. And some of the things it covers, you never hear anywhere else. So I suggest you get it. It's worth it. Okay, this is kind of, it doesn't shock you and I, it might say a little bit. But folks, listen, I'm not making this stuff up. I wish I could make this stuff up. I could be a science fiction writer. But restaurants are now adding equity charges to customers' checks to fight oppression. That's the headline. Restaurants are now adding equity charges to customers' checks to fight oppression. Wow. Where should we eat tomorrow? My wife asked me excitedly as we sat on our deck Friday evening. She had locked down a babysitter for Saturday night, and we were both eager for our first dinner date alone together in months. Broder's, I answered without hesitation. Located in southwest Minneapolis, Broder's Bar is a local gym. It has a great outdoor patio and the best Italian cuisine in the Twin Cities. We had not eaten there since the pandemic began. My wife nodded and started to make a reservation on the phone. Then her jaw dropped. "You're not going to like this," she said. She was right. On its website, Broder's had a notice to customers notifying them of a new 15% benefits and equity charge they've instituted. They justify the charge first by explaining that many states have allowed reduced minimum wages for service staff in the form of a tip credit. Restaurant's second justification is that many tippers, now listen to this, Melody, now tell me this isn't a slap in the face of most people. Many tippers are racist and sexist.
That's just unbelievable.
Now isn't that a slap in the face?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that makes me angry. Studies also have shown that there is an inequity and built-in bias in the way consumers give tips, the statement reads. Who give you the gall to even say that? Who are you to judge me? In general, black or brown servers receive less tips than Caucasian servers. There's gender bias as well. Oh, my gosh. The final part of the statement said the new policy stems from wider racial injustice and is not a substitute for gratuity. In the wake of racial injustice protests and closures due to COVID, now is the time for Broder's to reimagine its economics and provide fair pay across the company, the statement reads. Our benefits and equity charges applied entirely to employee compensation. This supplement helps us to set a $16 minimum hourly wage for customer-facing employees, $18 minimum hourly wage for kitchen employees. Altogether, this allows everyone in their company to earn a real living wage. The 15% inequity charge is not a gratuity. Finally, if Broder's doesn't feel restaurant workers in the back are earning enough money, there's a solution to that. Pay them more. This action doesn't require any surcharge or public lectures on systematic oppression. It only requires a restaurant to run an efficient and profitable business that allows them to pay workers a wage they can believe is fair and livable. Out of curiosity, I looked around to see if any other restaurants are adding the similar charges. I quickly found one. Pizzeria Toro, a North Carolina restaurant, recently announced that it was introducing a 20% living wage fee. The pizzeria's owner, Gray Brooks, said this is the equitable thing to do. In order for the bottom to rise up, the top has to come down a little bit, says Brooks. Melody, what is going on? Even business people are losing their marbles.
I think so, too. I mean, that really is incredible. I mean, that's a big chunk, 15, 20%.
Absolutely. I would never
be there. That's just so they don't have to pay the employees anymore.
Well, no, that's because
doesn't come. They
are
don't
racist.
Want to. They don't want to give the wage. They don't want to give their employees any more money. So, well, they'll charge it to the customers. I don't know. I mean, it's just so bizarre anymore. And you know, we were talking. I was talking about this just the other day. Where if you look at receipts anymore, they'll have, you know, what you want to pay your waitress, 10, 15, you know, 20%,
right.
and And it's like, even tips are expected.
Yeah, you're right.
And then some restaurants automatically charge. You don't even have a choice. They'll have a thing on there, we charge 18%. And that's just included in your bill. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter then if the service is any good. So people don't even have to work for their tips anymore. They get them regardless. And,
this
you know,
is
they
insane.
Just don't work as hard because, you know, it used to be tip, the better you work, the bigger the tip that you got. But everybody's being conditioned to 20% to 15%.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like big deal. So, you know, it's, and this is even worse.
It is. And it's making, it's welfare mindedness is what it is. They make you pay it. But they're calling people racist and sexist. Wouldn't you think that the general public would be upset about that and say, I'm not eating any longer? You're judging me for no reason at all. Wouldn't you think that would bother them a little bit?
Well, maybe to half of the people in this country, but the other half is going to be like, well, they've been, you know, they've had such a difficult time. Their 150-year-old grandmother. I don't know.
It's absolutely certain. That makes, see, these are things that upset me. Not because everyone's, I don't have no problem with them paying a fair wage, but as he said, run the restaurant efficiently enough and do business well enough that you make enough money to give them a better wage. Don't bill me for it. It's not my restaurant.
Right.
You know, so
right.
Anyway, I guess
but you can almost do. You can get by with anything today if you call it sexist and racist today.
Absolutely. Yeah, remember that Me Too movement? Whatever happened to that?
Mm.
BLM took it over, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. On and on we go. Yeah. On we go. Oil drops with traders eyeing upcoming OPEC hike. Oil declined amid expectation of an upcoming supply increase from OPEC producers at a time when the Delta variant is spreading worldwide and threatening a demand rebound. I'm going to comment on that also. I was listening to Dr. Bob Martin. You ever heard of him?
I don't think I have.
He does a national radio talk show in different stations. He said, and this is what he said, of a study in UK, that the people who got the vaccine are 600% more likely to catch the Delta variant. That's why you get out of the UK study. I'm not making it up. And much higher average of dying from it, by the way, too. But anyway, futures in New York fell as much as 1.5% on Monday. The organization of petroleum exporting countries and its allies will meet Thursday when they may decide to boost output by 550,000 barrels a day in August, a Bloomberg survey shows. So that may ease some price at pump. Well, I think it would. I don't know whether it will or not, but it could ease the price at pump, and that may help lower inflation a little bit and other things also if it works out that way. We're already paying over $3 a gallon most places. So this may ease it up a little bit. I don't know, but I thought I'd share that. I'm kind of stunned that they agreed to increase output that much.
Well, I mean, oil dropped a buck and a half or a buck and a quarter. It's really not that big. It's still over 70. It's still 72.
Yeah.
So it's not like it dropped to 50 or to 40. So we'll see where it goes, but... You know, as far as I'm concerned, it really doesn't make that much. I mean, if they're anticipating that much of a demand, but
time will tell.
Time will tell.
And this one, I read it twice to make sure I understood it right. This is I don't know much about cryptocurrency. I don't know much about it at all. I know some people say they made a lot of money at it, and some of them lost a lot of money. But anyway. The dramatic crash of a buzzy cryptocurrency raises eyebrows. In early 2020, Dominic Williams was feted at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, as the next king of blockchain technology. Mr. Williams is the founder of the Definity Foundation, a Swiss nonprofit organization that started an ambiguous project called the Internet Computer, backed by Andreessen Horowitz, one of the most prestigious venture capital firms in Silicon Valley. The project, years in the works, generated a lot of buzz last month ahead of its initial coin offering, the crypto equivalent of the company going public and listing shares for investors to buy. In early trading after the market debut, the total market value of the Internet Computer Token, or ICP, was worth tens of billions of dollars, making it one of the 10 most valuable cryptocurrencies at the time. The ICP token is designed to help operate a decentralized layer of web infrastructure being built by Definity that believers say will liberate users from reliance on companies like Amazon and Google. The technology complex network would make it easier for people to build software and publish directly to the internet without going through the tech giant's platforms. But by last week, ICP's value had tanked by 95%. That's Millie. That's worse than tanked. That's just drained. From tens of billions to 95 down to 95%. Wonder what Mr. Williams is doing now.
Still had 5%.
Yeah. Look at the bright side.
On the bright
side. Look at the bright side. But you know, people that invest today, now cryptocurrency, they thought they were making money. Did it not?
Pardon?
The people that invested in the cryptocurrency thought they were making money.
Yeah.
They did. And although they had to know it was just a blip on a computer screen, it wasn't real money. I guess they thought when it got high enough, it cashed in. I don't even know how you go about doing that. But nonetheless, they put their faith in a blip on a computer, just like we put our faith in a paper dollar bill, and they lost it. Reckon that could happen to paper dollar bills also?
You know, I don't see why not. And the thing of it is, with all these cryptocurrencies, and again, if you made profit and you're making profit, I know a lot of my customers have. They'll sell it and they'll buy some gold. That's what you should be doing. But if you're just going to hold it waiting for Bitcoin to go back up to 60,000, you kind of already missed the boat. And you didn't protect yourself for the drop from 60 to 30. And that's what people don't do because it's just human nature. And I guess you could tell them until you're blue in the face, but it's always going higher. And that's what people bet on. It's a gambling Wall Street crypto. It's a gambling casino.
It is.
That's what it is.
Lay your money on the board and hope the wheel lands on you.
Exactly.
Yep. So, I get a newspaper. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Somebody asked me yesterday, what's the big deal with cryptos? I said, what? What's the big deal? They're nothing. And we're back to that. It's nothing.
that's exactly right.
You're just giving your money to somebody.
You're hoping you'll win.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I get a paper sent to me in the mail every week or so, Fort Fairfield Journal, put out by a real intelligent gentleman who runs it up there, Dave DeShane. And he prints my articles too in it from time to time. But nonetheless, you got an ad in here or a column says, when paying with pre-1964 silver coinage U.S. silver dollar federal note current exchange rate, your $1 Federal Reserve note equals less than 5 cents in silver dollars than it did in 1964. 0.461% is what you get out. You get less than 5 cents on the dollar that you got in 1964. Millie, that's huge. That is huge. A dollar's worth less than 5 cents than it was in 1964, which had not been, what, 80 years ago?
Not that long ago.
That should, folks, I should tell you something. Dollar is worth less than a nickel. Invest in something solid. Call Belty up and, if nothing else, buy some silver eagles or something put back that's going to grow in value or at least won't go to nothing. Anything else you want to add that, Melody?
No, I don't.
Okay. Now, this we know is real and it's heading our way. It's heading to the East Coast, I'm sure. Blistering heat wave demolishes all-time records in northwestern U.S. Canada. In northwestern U.S. and Canada. Record high temperatures are being shattered across the Pacific Northwest on June 27th as people without air conditioning at home look for ways to stay cool. To say it's hot in northwestern United States and western Canada is an understatement. For the second straight day, temperatures soared to unheard of levels for this part of the world on Sunday. And an AccuWeather meteorologist says the summer sizzle hasn't even reached its peak. AccuWeather's team of expert forecasters were describing the then upcoming heat wave as a unprecedented, life-threatening, and historic as early as the middle of the last week, and these descriptions have been accurate in the first days of the Northwest Scorcher. The weekend marked the beginning of the extended stretch of extreme temperatures, Portland, Oregon, a city that typically experiences temperatures in the middle to upper 70s in late June, soared to a staggering 112 degrees Fahrenheit on Sunday, breaking the all-time record high of 108 set just a day before. Prior to the current heat wave, the highest temperature ever recorded in the city was 107 that was set in July of 1965 and twice in 1981. Portland is also expected to obliterate its daily record, a high of 100, on Monday and possibly set an all-time high temperature record for a third straight day. AccuWeather is predicting a high of 113 on Monday, which will make it the hottest day ever recorded in the city. The highest temperature recorded in the state of Oregon was 117, which was set in Umatilla on 27th, 1939. That's hot, Mildy.
Yes, it is.
That is hot. 100. Go ahead.
But you know what's interesting is our temperatures really don't reflect that heat coming this way. I mean, heck, this weekend we're supposed to be in the mid-70s.
That's
tomorrow,
true.
Wednesday, we're supposed to be 90. And, you know, it's July, so it's not uncommon.
And it's so dry in the West and Midwest. It's so dry the crops aren't growing.
That is true. It's
so
very
that can
dry.
Mean that we may pay more prices for our vegetables and our grains. No doubt about it, we already are. We already are. Now, I don't want to start the next story because we're getting a little break in a few seconds. But so what it boils down to is this, excuse me, this weather is hitting us in the pocketbook, as it always does. Whether it's extreme cold, extreme heat, the consumer ends up paying for it, don't they?
They do. And you know, yes, it does hit when other things are going on and so forth. But, you know, it is coming at a time where people aren't working. Businesses sure. haven't opened yet. You still have, you know, high unemployment. So it's not coming. I think it will be felt much harder this time around than before, you know, various times before.
You had to feel for the folks, whether it's man-made or it's not. People give all kinds of, they have feel for the folks who are suffering through it right now.
Yeah. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We're heading into the third break of the program, the last Butch, help me
segment,
out here.
Segment,
don't start
last
laughing.
Segment. Last segment of the program.
The third segment, the last. Never mind.
We'll get her done.
What's next?
You might want to take a
It's been
break.
A long and hectic day today. And I think maybe the heat even got to me today. It was very humid today.
It was hot here in the hills today. Really oppressively hot and humid. Well, not so much humid as just plain hot, but it was humid too. You know, we're talking all the time about wars, rumors of wars all over the country, Melody, from Middle East to Russia and China to China and America. Well, India has sent 50,000 troops to China border in a historic move. That's a lot of army, Melody. 50,000 is a lot of people. India has redirected at least 50,000 additional troops to its border with China in a historic shift toward an offensive military posture against the world's second biggest economy. Although the two countries battled in the Himalayas in 1962, India's strategic focus has primarily been Pakistan since the British left the subcontinent, with the longtime rivals fighting three wars over the disputed region of Kashmir. Yet since the deadliest India-China fighting in the decades last year, Prime Minister Narendra Modi administration has sought to ease tensions with Islamabad and concentrate primarily on countering Beijing. With the past few months, India has moved troops and fighter jet squadrons to the three distinct areas along its border with China, according to four people familiar with the matter. All in all, India has now roughly 200,000 troops focused on the border, two of them said, which is an increase of more than 40% from last year.
Wow.
That's a lot of troops. 200,000. Just imagine that. And both countries are overpopulated. Maybe that's why they don't mind going to war. They need to cut them population. Who knows? But 200,000 troops. That's a huge army. So, who knows? I don't want to say that. But I just know we're watching tensions rise in the Black Sea, the Mediterranean, now in India and China. I don't know. And here in our own country, tensions are rising between blacks and whites and Hispanics. It's just going on and on. The world seems like it's like a boiling pot sitting on a stove with no outlet. When it blows, it's going to be nasty. So that's my input on that.
You know, and it's kind of, you know, you wonder why, because even around the world, even in a lot of these really third world countries and so forth, but I mean, not everybody, so. But like countries like Europe, the United States, you wonder why, because we've never had it so good. And that's all segments of the population. I mean, don't you think?
Even people that
are considered in poverty have cars. Yes, I'm not talking about the homeless and, you know, so forth. But, you know, they have other problems. A lot of them have other problems. But, I mean, as a percentage, I would think that you wonder why so many people are unhappy.
Well, you know, scriptures tells in Hosea 4:7 that the more the people prospered, or he said more the increase, but the more they prospered, the more they forgot God. And I think people become a little bit spoiled, Melody. We expect everything. I mean, 100 years ago, we didn't have electricity in some parts of the country. Less than 100 years ago, actually. We definitely didn't have air conditioning in homes. Yeah. Cars didn't have air conditioning. Most of them didn't have a heater. But we got by.
Yeah.
Now we expect it a whole lot more, don't we?
We do. But why are people so unhappy?
So that's the point. That is the point. They need something, and we know what that is. It's God in their hearts, but that's lacking.
Yes.
Now, you might want to listen to this. This is the headline. This is the list of the dumbest states, and listed in order, the dumbest, from least to most educated. Now, I'm not making up. They call it dumbest states. There are two states that are always vying for the top levels on poverty, and now looks like ignorance. And this is what the article said. There are two states always vying for that spot in poverty and now on ignorance. Mississippi and West Virginia.
Oh.
Yep, we're always on the bottom, either bottom toe financially or the or bottom of the power financially or second up from Mississippi. Mississippi sometimes beats us out. Mississippi, West Virginia, Louisiana, and Arkansas are the most uneducated states. This is what they said. Rank them least to most. And hey, you see people say, are you insulted? No, I'm not insulted. Not at all. Go ahead.
But why would they even bother?
I agree.
To report on something like that. What's the point? And I'll tell you what.
I agree.
I know people in those states that are probably smarter than some of these college-educated people. They know life.
Well, I'm sure you're not thinking I'm one of them, but anyway.
Well, you are.
I appreciate that.
Let's go back to Ford. I mean, look at those guys. Most of them didn't have much more than an eighth grade education. You know, some of owners are big factories. And, yeah.
Yep.
But, I mean, no, I'm talking about wealthy men.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Wealthy men who ran things, who created things. I mean, I do believe education is important, but, you know, it's I don't like that article.
Well, I will say that good education is important. But what we're receiving today, most of it is not good education. You know that.
No,
it's Marxist socialist teaching. You know that.
Exactly.
So maybe it's not a bad thing being near the bottom of the list. I don't know. But I just thought I'd share that. Although it's just, like you said, it's a useless article.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get to something that's a little more important, Butch. I have one for you.
Okay, go ahead.
The world's oldest person after turning 119, thanks to a diet of butter, honey, cheese, and a boiled egg every morning. She puts her long life down to her fatty diet of butter and cheese. Turkey.
Well,
she's Turkish. So there you go.
I have no doubt. I mean, people are finding out now that the fat in milk and butter is necessary for your brain to function, and the fat in whole milk, especially raw whole milk and homemade butter, the fats in that does not get into your bloodstream. It does not leave your intestines. It can't get through the lining. 2% milk, skim milk, and other things, and other milk products, and manufactured cheese, butter and other things, seep through your intestines and get into your lining into your arteries. But real butter, real milk can't do that. You reckon God knew what he's making when he made it?
I think so.
I think he should know, but yeah, I think so. Now, this next article is not going to surprise you, I don't think. United States ranks last in global media trust. Imagine that. Imagine that. For years, we've been discussing the decline of journalism values with the rise of open bias in the media. No duh, people. Think about it. Now, a newly released report from the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism at Oxford has found something that would have been unthinkable just a few years ago. The United States ranked dead last in media trust among 49 countries, with just 29% saying that they trusted the media. Melody, anyone with two brain cells to rub together in this country today knows they can't trust media. And it is biased. Continually and forever biased, is it not?
I don't think everybody knows.
I didn't say no. I said everybody that has two brain cells rubbed together probably knows that.
Yes, they should. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's so openly obvious. You know, it's no longer, they don't even try to hide anymore. They don't say, well, we're going to bring you two sides of the story. They don't do that. They bring one side of the story and pound it in your head over and over and over for months at a time till, I guess, it finally sinks in. But the United States ranks dead last in media trust.
Well, and we
I
should
just
be,
can't imagine that.
And we should be far from that bottom.
We should be.
We should be number
and
one.
One time we were.
Yeah.
In our lifetime, it's changed that much. Honest, it has. We never were, in our lifetime, they never were perfect. But compared to today, our nation was really a godly nation at one time. You know that. And the FDA adds warning about heart inflammation to COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. More and more evidence is coming out with the vaccines, what to do to everyone. It's now the young people. And now they want to pass get it down to where you can give it to newborns. Imagine that. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration added a warning about the risk of developing heart inflammation to information about the Moderna and Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines. The FDA announced early this month that it would add the warning after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had reported that more cases of heart inflammation, either myocarditis or pericarditis, were found in young adults and children after they received the vaccines, which use the mRNA technology. On June 25th, the agency said that it would add revisions to the patient and provider fact sheets about the increased risk of myocarditis, inflammation of the muscle, heart muscle, and inflammation of the tissue surrounding the heart following vaccination using the Pfizer or Moderna COVID-19 shots. The Pfizer or Moderna vaccines use mRNA technology that require two doses, whereas the vaccine made by Johnson & Johnson uses an adenovirus and it requires a single dose. So, do you want to give that to your children? Do you think you should? It's young adults and children that are suffering with this the most. I do believe that I would think twice about that, wouldn't you, Melody?
You know, I was listening. I was driving somewhere this week, and I was listening to NPR, and they were interviewing this young man. He was from Arizona, and I think he was 16. And he wants to get the vaccine, and his parents don't want him to have it. So his parents were gone for the weekend or something, so they interviewed this kid. And, you know, I mean, he was basically calling his parents, you know, conspiracy theorists, and not just his parents that were looking out for him and cared for him and so forth. And they were just basically, there was teachers trying to get him the vaccine without his parents knowing, like maybe take him to another state.
Sure.
That doesn't require the parents' approval. You know, and he did say he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do anything illegal, and doing it without your parents' consent because he was in one state would, you know, classify as, you know, illegal, but... I mean, this kid would have done anything to get this shot, going totally against his parent, calling his parents' names and, you know, laughing at him, laughing at his parents. And it's just like, wow.
I'm not going to get through all these articles today, so I'm going to keep up on them for Wednesday because I think they're important. But I got to share this one. It's not funny, but it is funny. You know what one New York University bioethicist proposes to help eliminate global warming?
What's that?
New York University proposes creating smaller humans to address global warming. I'm not making it up. Matthew Leo, a bioethicist at New York University, who, during an appearance in 2016 World Science Festival, made shocking proposals to reduce global warming through human engineering. He first suggested creating an intolerance or allergy. Now listen to this. He first suggested creating an intolerance or allergy to meat by tinkering with the human body to induce an unpleasant reaction to meat proteins. Are you listening? Well, this is unthinkable. Leo also pitched the idea of reducing the size of humans by 15 centimeters, about 6 inches, saying if we are smaller just by 15 centimeters, I did the math, that is mass reduction 25%, which is huge. So think of the lifetime greenhouse gas emissions if we had smaller children. This is a serious proposal at the World Science Festival just a few years ago. And they want to give you something, make you intolerant of meat products. Melly, what kind of control do you think they're trying to have on us?
Well, how far did
it
get?
Well, I don't know. That's as far as, I mean, the article was on from there, but he didn't get it. It wasn't accepted, obviously, but it was talked about. That's what stunned me. They didn't even talk about it. How did they let the man talk about something so absurd? But they did. And we'll get into some of that Wednesday on some things about the flights have been canceled because pilots getting sick. And this is all true stories. And San Francisco has wanting 37,000 employees to get the shot or they're going to get fired. Make-A-Wish Foundation announces they will not help children if they've not been vaccinated. How's that for good?
Well, they're going to help them, but they have to change their venue. They're still going to help
them. They said that they have to prove that they,
prove that they have the vaccine to get to do what they want to do for their wish. But if they don't, then they have to change, you know, their, like if you wanted to go to Disneyland, you didn't have your vaccine, you can't go. But your second choice might be to go swimming in the Pacific Ocean. That would be acceptable. So they're going to pick and choose.
We'll talk about it
when we get back on Wednesday.
Wednesday. There you go.
But I'll be here tomorrow with Dave. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.